Parshas Pincha. The famous Rashi, towards the beginning of this week's parasha, on the pasuk Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. The Torah sees it fit and necessary to describe to us Pinchas and all of his lineage, all the way back to Aharon HaKohen. Why is this necessary? So Rashi tells us, quoting Chazal, because the Shlotim, the tribes of Klal Yisrael, were being mavazeh, they were taunting and mocking and criticizing him, and they were telling him, after he committed this act of killing Zimri and Cosby, they told him that, listen, you are after all the grandson of Aaron of Yisroi, and let's not forget that Yisroi was mefatim agolim l'avodah zorah, he used to fatten calves for avodah zorah. You should know your root. You emanate from Yisroi. To which the Torah responds and says, one second, he actually emanates from Aharon HaKohen, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. It's interesting to point out that the Kli Yochor has a very interesting twist on this pasuk. The simple pshat is, we understand traditionally, that rather than saying that he's a grandson of Yisroi, we'd rather focus on the fact that in fact he was actually the grandson of Aaron instead. But the Kli Yochor has a very different twist on this. And he says, one second, who did Elazar marry? The daughter of Yisroi. Elazar was the son of Aharon, and he married the daughter of Yisroi. So now, Pinchas is about to commit this act, he's about to kill Zimri. He knows exactly who his parents are. He knows exactly what their leitzonei hadoi. Remember when I was engaged to Yeshiva, the Mashkiach from SSO used to quote Rashi here, and Rashi even told us about the leitzonei hadoi. And he said, there used to be leitzonei hadoi, but now we have a doi of leitzonei. Generation of mockers. He should have been concerned and was fully aware, what are the Leitzonim going to say? They're going to say, ah, you're a grandson of Yisroi, of course, he's a big idol worshipper. And he might well have thought to himself, if that's the case, I better not get involved, I'm going to get severe criticism. One second, he looks at his other side and he thinks, who's my other grandfather? Aaron. You know something? They're going to tell me your other side is no better. Who is the one responsible for Avodah Zarah, the eagle in Klal Yisrael? Aharon HaKohen. So I'm sorry to say, you're surrounded on all sides by grandfathers who are idol worshippers. So he says, that's what the Torah is actually stressing. He sort of turns this on his head. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, despite the fact that he was on the one hand the son of Elazar, who married into Yisroi, and he was also the grandson of Aaron. Either way, he could have well been excused, perhaps, for saying, you know, I don't want to get involved in this. Because whichever way I look, I'm surrounded by people who you might criticize as, or you'd be Avodah Zarah, Chas V'Shalom, whether it's Yisroi or Abdul, Aaron, HaKohen. Nonetheless, the Torah, to his credit says, despite the fact that he was the Ben Elazar, Ben Aharon HaKohen, he still killed Cosby and Zimri. In other words, this is a very different look at it. Pashtus, you learn that rather than looking at the fact that he was the grandson of Yisroi, let's rather emphasize and focus on the fact that he was the grandson of Aaron. Whereas the Kli Yochor says, no, that's not what the Torah means. The Torah means despite the fact, not because of, despite the fact that he was the grandson of Aharon HaKohen, and that might have put him off. Because people are going to say, oh, grandson of Aaron, yeah, he was the one who made the eagle for us. So basically, you're an Avodah Zarah descendant. Despite the fact that he emanated from Aharon HaKohen, and on the other side, Yisroi, he nonetheless decided to get involved, and he killed Zimri, as we know. Either way, there is a very important point that we need to pick up on this Rashi. Because if, at the end of the day, what was the criticism of Klal Yisrael? That you emanate from Avodah Zarah. you come from Yisro. So why did they stress and mention at all the fact that he fattened calves for Avodah Zarah? Why is that the point of discussion over here? Wouldn't it have sufficed to say, you emanate, you descend from Yisro, who was an idol worshipper? How he worshipped his idols, because he did fatten calves or didn't fatten calves, why is that relevant? Why didn't they simply say, listen, you are a direct descendant of Yisro, who was an Oyved Avodah Zarah, full stop. An Oyved Avodah Zarah. Why must they mention, no, he was Mefateim Agolim La Avodah Zarah, he fattened calves. Why is that relevant at all? Furthermore, and this is the question that of course everybody discusses, what do they say? You're a grandson of Yisroi. And what does the Torah say? He's the grandson of Aaron. Well, so he's not the grandson of Yisroi anymore? Did the Shvatim make a mistake? He is the grandson of Yisroi. It's true, he's also the grandson of Aaron HaKohen. I can't take that away from him. But neither can you take away the fact that he is an enical of Yisroi. So whatever their taina was, they claim that you're the descendant of Yisroi, who's a Mafatma Gol Avodah Zarah. What does the Torah say? Yeah, he's a descendant of Aaron HaKohen. That might be perfectly true. But you cannot ignore the fact that he is, after all, a grandson of Yisroi. Comes along the Sheni Shmuel and says the following Goyim. He tells us, by way of introduction, he quotes in the name of his father. Who is his father? His father was the Avnei Nezer. The Gemara in Nozir compares Zimri, who seemingly committed the act of Znus, and Tomor, who also seemingly committed an act of Znus. There is a comparison, a direct comparison in the Gemara there, between Zimri and Tomor. Now, we know that Chazal tell us that Tomor was Mechavim L'Shem Shamayim. And if the Gemara compares Zimri to Tomor, then we have to arrive at the inescapable conclusion that Zimri was also Mechavim L'Shem Shamayim. Which is a difficult concept, perhaps, at first to swallow. How exactly and what exactly his Kavanas were, but it seems clear from the Gemara, by virtue of its comparison between Zimri and Tomor, that just as Tomor was Mechavan Hashem Shamayim, so too Zimri was also Mechavan Hashem Shamayim. Here's the Avnei Nezer. One second. There exists a concept, a very difficult to explain, and an even more difficult to put into practice concept called the Aveira Lishmo. The Aveira Lishma. And under some set of circumstances, the Gemara says there is precedent to be over an Aveira Lishma. Halacha l'maisa is almost never relevant, at least for us. But the basic requirement to even consider an Aveira Lishma is that what? That indeed it has to be Lishma. And in fact, it has to be 100% Lishma. There's no such thing as I was mostly lishma, or in part lishma. And an aveira lishma, in order to clearly say that he was mechaven Hashem Shamayim, and that's why he was matir for himself to be over an aveira, the precondition is, as the Avnei Nezer writes, that it's tzricha liyos lishma betachlis. Absolutely. Beli iruv kavona. Without any mixture of any other kavanah, tzaddis, kol shehu, whatsoever. It's either 100% or nothing at all. Says his son, the Shem Shmuel, the following. Chazal tell us that what do they want to do to Pinchas? Says they criticized him. What do they want to do to him? The Chazal tell us, it's the Gemara Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin, that he wanted to put him in Cheirim. They wanted to excommunicate him, absolutely and completely. Now we need to stop and think for a moment, one second. What did they hold? Why did Pinchas kill Zimri? We know that he invoked the famous halacha called Kanoim Poigim Boy. The Kanoi, the zealot, Poigim Boy can, under certain circumstances, take the law into his own hands. So let's stop a moment. Did they know that halacha, or they didn't know it? If they knew that halacha, then what was the criticism for? Why would they want to excommunicate him? And if they didn't know that halacha, then Pinchas is just a downright murderer. So let's take him to Beis Din and sentence him to death. What's this compromise that we want to have him punished, but not with death, excommunicate him, but we don't have him off the hook either? What did you hold? Did Pinchas do right or wrong? Is there a concept called Kanoim Poigim Boy? Were you aware of this or you are unaware of it? If you were aware of it, he's off the hook. And if you were unaware of it, then he's a murderer. So what's this? No, we want to excommunicate him. What does that mean? Says the Shemesh Shmuel Goinus. What happens if some of you would come to Beis Din and you says, two Eidim tell us he was Mechalel Shabbos. We warned him, and he was nonetheless Mechalel Shabbos, b'meizid, and they passed all the tests, and we reached the conclusion he's Mechalel Shabbos. So what do we do? We have to kill him. Chayav Tefila. But he says, excuse me, I was Mechalel Shem Shema. What's halacha? Too bad, we kill him. The Beis Din shall matter. Kill alpi the evidence, not alpi some internal kavana and intention. And of course, we have the greatest proof from the Mekoshesh. The Mekoshesh ate them, collected firewood on Shabbos. Chazal tell us he was Mechavan Hashem Shemayim, and what was the Psak Beis Din? Yes, he killed. Because Beis Din Shel Matar do not consider his intentions, they just consider the act. However, when it comes to Kanoim Poigim Boy, where you're taking the law into your own hand, this is beyond the realms of Beis Din. Your kavana has to be l'shem shema. I'm killing him for pure intention. Here, I quite clearly consider the intention also of the person who seemingly committed the aveira. If indeed I arrive at the conclusion that he was boil aramis, he had relations with a non-Jewish woman in public, and he deserves to be killed, kanoim poigim boy. But if not, and I must consider his intention, if indeed it was l'shem shamayim, unlike Beis Din, this is not Beis Din. This is taking law into your own hands. There's a different set of rules over here. The game is played very, very differently over here. So Pinchas, when wanting to kill Zimri, does have to consider his kavana l'shem shemayim. You cannot ignore that factor. So what did the Shvatim come along? The Shvatim come along and they say, why did you kill Zimri? He was mechavan l'shem shemayim. The Gemara tells us he's like Toma, he was mechavan l'shem shemayim. So why did you kill him? So what do you want to say? So he shouldn't have killed Zimri? So let's take him to Beis Din. Up for murder. What will Beis Din say? Beis Din don't look at intention, they only look at acts. So we're a little bit caught. If we're claiming that Zimri Pinchas should have looked at his intention, and he was Mechavan Hashem Shamayim, and he shouldn't have killed him, so we're going to drag him to Beis Din. But as soon as we get to Beis Din, what are Beis Din going to say? We don't look at intentions, we only look at acts. So we're going to be stuck either way. Mechavan Hashem Shemayim. No, of Zimri. Of Zimri, Hashem Shemayim. What did Beis Din see? Beis Din don't consider kavana, they only consider the act. So either way they were stuck. So therefore they said, fine, so on one hand we want to have you punished, but we can't have you punished in Beis Din, because the minute we march you to Beis Din, they're going to say, we don't look at intention. So they came up with this compromise and said, we're going to put him to excommunication. Fine. Be that as it may. What is the bottom line over here? What were the Shvatim claiming against Pinchas? You know what they were really saying? You didn't look at his kavanah, because his kavanah was a Shem Shemayim. In other words, all you looked at was what? the external act, but you didn't look at the internal, the pnimius of the kavana. That was really the taina of the shvatim. You only looked at the chitzonios, you never considered the pnimius. Who are you a descendant of? Yisroi. And what did Yisroi do? He was oved avodah zarah? No. He was mafatin agolim for avodah zarah. He fattened calves. You know that when you bring a korban for Beis Hamikdash, whereas, yes, you're supposed to bring a mechumadika animal to the Beis Hamikdash, not covered to bring anything unbefitting to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, there is no mitzvah to fatten the calf. If you're an animal and you're matzah as a korban, there's no mitzvah to fatten it. Why not? Because that's all the external situation. That's the way the animal looks. What's more important to us? The pnimius. What were your kavanos? The dam gets sprinkled on the mizbeach. Was he chayzer b'tshuva, etc., etc. The fact that Yisroi was mafate magolim l'avodah zarah, what does that show us? That Yisroi was considering what? The chitzonios. How does this korban look on the outside? Does it look nice and fattened and healthy? That's what's important to me. And that's what the shvatim were claiming. You didn't look at Zimri's internal intentions. You didn't consider the pnimiyos. What did you look at? The chitzonios. Ah, we know where this comes from. This comes from your Zayda, Yisroi. Yisroi also only considered the chitzonios. That's why he fattened calves for Avodah Zarah. We ask, wouldn't it suffice just to mention that he served Avodah Zarah? Why must you mention that he fattened the calves? No, that's the whole point! He fattened calves for Avodah Zarah. That represents the fact that he not only served Avodah Zarah, but he served them in a very external fashion. That's what the criticism was of Pinchas as well. You also consider Zimri in an external fashion. How does the Torah respond? He's an amical of Aaron of Kain. How do you spell Aaron? Aleph Hei Reishnum. Says the Shem Yishmol, the root letters are Hei, Reish, Nun. Listen to the Goinus of the Shem Yishmol. We know in the alphabet the letters are split up into three sets. Single digits from Aleph to Yud, double digits from Chaf to Tzadi, and triple digits from Kuf to Tof. What are the innermost letters? The ones that are most pnimi. From 1 to 9, what is the middle letter? Hey. From Chaf to Tzadi, Nun. And of the last four, the Reish. Aaron's name, Hey, Reish, Nun, represent the most pnimi letters that exist. You're telling Pinchas that he never considered the pnimius. Why? Because he's a descendant of Yisroi, who only looks at the mafate magol and he externally fattens the calves. He's an enochal of Aroi, who is as pnimi as you get. He decided, he did look at the pnimius, and whereas he was mechavan l'shem shomayim, but Pinchas understood that the kavanas were not totally l'shem shomayim after all. And that's what the Torah is responding. We know full well that he's a descendant of Yisroi. And that's why you consider him to be an external type of person. No, he's an enochal of Aaron, Hei Reish Nun, the most internal letters you could possibly muster up. And that's what we're going to give Pinchas as his reward. He's going to become a Kohen, just like his grandfather Aaron. Because he has followed in his footsteps. He jolly well has looked at the pnimius, just as the letters Hei Reish Nun. And it was very much based on that conclusion. By looking at the pnimius, that he decided and understood that Zimri was not mechavan l'shem shomayim to the full after all. And that's why he killed him, and he had every right to do so. The ga'inus, total ga'inus of the Shem Yishmol. There is, in this week's parasha, a unique phenomenon where it says, Hinani Naisen Loi Es Brisi Shalom. How do we spell Shalom? Shin Lamed, with a men at the end. And what's that middle letter? The strange looking Vav. The Gemara tells us that the Vav has to be spelt or written as a Vav Ketiah. What does that mean, a Vav Ketiah? A cut Vav. The Vav has to be cut. And by the way, the Gemara actually derives halachic principles from this. The Gemara says, what happens if a Baal Mum, what's a Baal Mum? Kohen has a blemish, and he performs avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, what's the halacha of that avodah? The avodah is possible. Possible. Why is it possible? Because the Gemara says, that it says, Brisi Shalim, he's got to be Shalim, he's got to be complete. A Baal Mum is not complete. Says the Gemara, excuse me, it doesn't say Shalim, it says Shalom. So where do you see anything about complete? Says the Gemara, because the Vav is cut. So let's delete this Vav. And what are you left with? Shalim, Shin, Lamed, Mem. Shalim, perfect. The Kohen has to be perfect. And he is imperfect, i.e. he has a mum, his avodah is possible. So this is the famous principle of Vav Ketiah. Now, it's interesting to note, halakhically, there is much discussion, how do you actually write this Vav Ketiah in a Sefer Torah? There are many, many, many opinions. Rabbeinu Bachai says that a Vav Ketiah means it's got to be a small Vav. It looks like a Vav, but it's just a small, small Vav. You have Shin, Lamed, Mem, and the Vav in the middle will be shorter. It looks like a Vav, but it's shorter than other letters.
Isn't it to look like a
Yud, right? Oh, we'll get to soon. Some opinions say it has to look like a Yud, but he's saying no, it doesn't quite look like a Yud, it's just a reduced Vav. It's a mini Vav. What's interesting is, the Rabbeinu Bachai says, that what you'll be left with is Shalim. And you know what Shalim stands for? Shin Lamed Mem. Shaloi Lomus. He never died. Because Pinchas indeed never died. Who is Pinchas? Chazal tell us Eliyahu HaNavi. And Eliyahu HaNavi didn't die. So Shin Lamed, without the Vav, Mem, Shaloi Lomus means Pinchas is Eliyahu. And he never died. How do you spell Eliyahu, by the way? Alad Lamad Yud Hei Vav. Do you know at the end of Sefer Malachi, it writes Eliyahu without a Vav. It says at the end of Sefer Malachi, that you write the word Eliyahu as the word Eliyah. So just like Pinchas has his Shalom written without a Vav, so too Pinchas is Eliyahu, he also in turn loses his Vav. The Baal HaTurim, however, says that's not how the Vav is written. The Vav is written in Rabbanah, this is what you mentioned before, not looking like a Vav. You make it so small that it looks like a Yud. It looks like a Yud. And he says, the Marsha in Kiddushin also says, that how you read the word now, Shin, Lamed, Yud, Mem, Shlim. What does Shlim mean? Perfect. Which fits in beautifully with the Gemara. Because the Gemara says that the Kohen has to be perfect, without any blemish. Now, I'll tell you a fascinating thing. Pinchas became a Kohen. And his children were Kohenim. And his grandchildren were Kohenim. Tosfos in Zvachim says, in the name of the Sifri, that 380 Kohanim emerged from Pinchas. 380 Kohanim emerged from Pinchas, which is hinted to in the word Shalim. One second. What's the gematria of Shalim? Shin, Lamed, Vav, Mem, 376. Where did you get to 380? The answer is because the Vav, you could add the four letters. Okay, very good. But it would seem to be that he understood that the Vav is written as a Yud, and if the Vav is written as a Yud, so it's as if it is written Shin Lamed Yud
Mem.
Shin Lamed is 330, plus Yud is 340, plus Mem is 380. So Rabbi Yehoshua is suggesting that's not necessarily conclusive. Maybe he did spell it with a Vav, but you can add the four letters. 376 plus 4 is 380. Okay, very beautiful. The third and final opinion for tonight is the opinion of the Ritva. The Ritva says that, do you know what Vav Ketir means? Do you know what it means? It's cut. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the way that we have our Sefer Torah. It doesn't mean cut short, that you reduce its size to be a Vav or a Yud. It means it's cut in the middle, it's cut into two. You write a Vav and you make a slit halfway. Some say, the Medrash tells us that when Pinchas killed Zimri, there were many, many, many miracles that happened on that day. In fact, there were 12 miracles that happened on that day. If you write a Vav and you cut it into two, it becomes like two Vavim. Six and six is 12. So it's a Makor, but it's Mayim HaChazal. I saw yesterday the most fascinating thing. The most fascinating thing. Pinchas is the big Kanoi, the big zealot. That's what it says. The Kanoi es Kinosi. Chazal tell us that Pinchas was held responsible for not being machzir b'tshuva amshei Gilos. The people of Gilos should have been chayzer b'tshuva at the hands of Pinchas, and he never returned them to tshuva. And as a result, there were many who died in Klal Yisrael when they went to battle, and it was Pinchas who was held accountable. He saw them being over averus, and he never protested against them. And if you don't protest against averus, you're held responsible. The interesting thing is that Pinchas is Eliyahu, as we mentioned before. And the Pasuk says, Hine anoichi shuleach lochem et Elio anovi veheishiv leiv ovois albonim. He's the one who's going to la'osiv lova, he's going to be the one who's machzir everybody b'tshuva. So what do we have in Pinchas' life? Three phases. Phase one, he was a kanoi against Zimri. Phase two, for whatever reason, he was not a kanoi against the Anshei Gilad. He was not master them, but surely didn't protest. Phase three, la'osid lavoi, he will be master everybody to tshuva. That's why we have the Vav cut in the middle. Because that is a synopsis, really, of Pinchas' whole life. There's the bottom, there's the top, and there's this little hole in the middle. That represents this phase two in which, for whatever reason, he did not act with kanoi. Let's just finish off with a very interesting, beautiful story that I heard, that I read. A Sefer Torah in Yerushalayim was commissioned by a wealthy donor, and when the Sefer Torah was complete, he was most put out to see that the Sefer had forgotten to write the Vav Ketir. It's written in ordinary Vav. And he was very, very upset. I've donated the Sefer Torah, and I've paid good money, and I wanted it written correctly. They said, well, we could start deleting and cutting, and say, I don't want to deleting Oisius in my Sefer Torah. I don't want to delete Oisius in my Sefer Torah. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, great Das Torah and great Gaona, says, fine, there's no need to delete anything. He told the Sefer, simply extend the letters Shin, Lamed, Mem in a downward direction slightly, and such that the Vav will be left smaller than the rest, and that way you have your Vav Ketir. You don't have to delete any Oisis. We're just going to drag the Shin down, drag the Lamed a bit down, drag the Mem down. The Vav will be left shorter, and that way you have your Vav Ketir. That was Shem Zalman Oedah's statement.